Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
CBS Eye on the World with Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, and my guide on being a member of the Commonwealth, constitutional monarchy. The king is now announcing, I have this from the Royalist Reporters, I love Royalist Reporters, the whole idea of it, at the Telegraph. King's new topiary garden opens to the public with 5,000 new trees. The transformed green space at Sandringham took 5 months to complete and includes new species of plants to improve biodiversity. Gregory, I sent you a photograph of this. It's a symmetrical garden that will be planted with all kinds of trees next year. Right now, it's just open for walking. This is the sort of ceremonial grandeur that a constitutional monarchy can represent. Does this mean significantly to the British people and to the Commonwealth? Do they take strength from this?
Well, I think that the Commonwealth and Britain take strength from the renewed virility of the crown. King Charles has really breathed new life into the monarchy since he came to the throne, which was to be expected. The Queen had been on the throne for a very long time and was, and her monarchy, as with Queen Victoria's monarchy, had become exhausted and but yet it had a great sense of purpose to it. So there's always a risk in going to the next generation. But King Charles has done that. You can see that the speed with which he implemented plans he'd been harboring for many, many years, probably decades, about the family home at Sandringham, were brought full-blown into the topiary garden. So it was something which has been on his mind, and I think it's going to make Sandringham much more than the relaxing country escape which the monarchy has had for the past few reigns. So it's going to be significant from that point of view. But basically, it's about King Charles expressing his love for the environment, which is has always been a key feature of his time during his Prince of Wales period.
A headline at the London Telegraph. This is the famous Tory Telegraph. Joe Biden's touchy-feely tea with the king makes up for coronation no-show. Subhead, Victoria Ward is the author. U.S. president uses tactile diplomacy to show his appreciation for Anglo-American ties during a royal reception at Windsor. Now, I've been over this video several times. It's a friendly king greeting a friendly president. And the one bump, I thought, was when the president touched the king, which in the old days was said to be a no-go. But I don't believe that Charles holds to that ceremony. Is that correct, Gregory?
Look, I think that the King Charles was certainly not fussed about the touchy-feely aspects. And in fact, if you look at the entirety of the video of the preparation for President Biden's arrival and the whole program, King Charles initiated, if you like, the touchy-feely part of it by assisting an older and clearly less vigorous president up onto the dais and then across the pavement and the ditch he had to cross to get over to review the Welsh Guards as they stood there to honor the visit. There was a bit of President Biden, who's always been touchy-feely, there was a bit of that, but it was also an element where the president was holding on to the king for stability, and the king clearly wanting to assist this older gentleman to make sure he didn't fall or stumble, and he was showing genuine support. King Charles showed himself at that whole ceremony to be far more in control, far more virile, and at home than President Biden. It was a dramatic reversal. If you think of the youthful vigor of the United States versus the tired old monarchy of George III, now we're seeing a vigorous new king with a tired president.
And we have less than a minute. It's not unimaginable to have Charles be the king of the Commonwealth. That means he's represented in Canada, New Zealand, and Australia. He could do the same for the United States. I understand that it's a what-if that it'll never happen, but it wouldn't disrupt our governance at all. It doesn't disrupt Australia's. Is that correct, Gregory? We've got 30 seconds.
It doesn't disrupt. It wouldn't disrupt, but it's not going to happen. No. Simply because of the sense of sovereignty of the United States people, quite rightly. But it figures, where the monarchy, the crown of the United Kingdom, figures prominently in the smaller Commonwealth countries, many of them as well, who acknowledge the British crown as the crown of their country, like Jamaica and the like, which may well abandon the crown at their peril, because then they'll move into an area of political governance rather than stable governance.
Gregory Copley, editor and publisher, Defense and Foreign Affairs. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.